when I did this bulletin, I somehow left the name of the sermon I did last year on Monday, Thursday, on there. I didn't change it. So if it doesn't make much sense, don't worry. Our message this Monday, Thursday, is a message of love. Is a message of direction. Is a message of faith. The very word Monday means mandate. Means commandment. I give you a new commandment. This Monday, Thursday is, while we always talk about it, celebrating the Lord's Supper, it actually is celebrating the commandment, the new covenant, the new promise that Jesus has given us. A commandment is not a request. A commandment is not a recommendation or a suggestion. He said, I give you a new commandment to love one another. He said this after demonstrating his love for them by humbling himself and washing their feet. He was doing this so they could understand that he was about to humble himself and die for our sins. Washing their feet told them, explained to them, demonstrated to them, showed them that this love he had, this humility that he had, this caring that he had for them was personal. He didn't take the pail of water and throw it out over them. He got down on his knees and he washed and dried their dirty feet. They walked in the dirt. They had open sandals. They didn't have boots or shoes like we have. They didn't have socks. Their feet were dirty and he washed them. Normally, this was done when you entered somebody's house by the lowest person in the household, a servant, a slave, would wash the feet of your guest, wash the feet of the returning master. Jesus set them an example. He set them an example of how to love one another. You absolutely cannot love someone without submitting yourself to them, without lowering yourself below them, without giving yourself to them. Loving one another is all about giving something that you would just as soon keep for yourself. Jesus demonstrated this to teach them, but he gave them this mandate, this monday, this commandment to do so. So how can you and I be mandated or commanded to love one another? I mean, isn't love an emotion that you have to feel, a compassion that you have to has to well up from somewhere within you? Isn't love something that nobody can tell you to feel? I've always found that all I have to do is put it into motion. If I can put myself into motion, the Holy Spirit will supply the emotion that I need to love one another. I simply have to put myself into motion. If I can get down on my knees, if I can get into motion, if I can go out of my way to help someone, to care for someone, to feed someone, to listen to someone, to care about someone, if I can put myself into motion to do that, the Holy Spirit will give me the emotion to care about them and to love them. But you have to put yourself there first. You have to start it. You have to do it. The commandment to us is not to have the emotion, but it is to take the motion to put ourselves in a vulnerable place where someone can say, I don't need you. I don't need your help. You don't need to worry about that. You can love someone who's not loving. You can love someone who absolutely doesn't care if you love them. You can love someone who acts as though they hate you because you care for them. That is what you're commanded to do. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. One of the most loving things that we can do is to tell someone what a difference knowing Jesus Christ makes in our lives. We just have to do it, and God will supply the emotion of love. God can allow you to feel the certainty that you're doing His will, even when the person that you're doing it to doesn't return that. If every time we went to love someone, we had love showered upon us, wouldn't that be easy? Tell me something. Every time God has done something loving for you, have you showered love upon Him? Not me. Every time God has done something that I really need, but maybe I don't want, have I returned love to God? Then why is it that we think that we should have love showered upon us in appreciation and thanks and gratitude when we can't even always muster it to thank God for doing what we need? Did Jesus Christ receive thanks and gratitude and love when He took on our sin? When He allowed Himself to be nailed to the cross and die? When God turned His back on Him and placed on Him the guilt of every sin I've ever done? And so He told His disciples they wouldn't understand now, but they would understand later. And they've given us the understanding through their word and through the Holy Spirit. We have received it. All we have to do is put ourselves in motion. We need to take action. We need to make a decision whenever we have the opportunity. There was a country music song that says you should never miss the chance when you have the opportunity to say I love you. Now she was talking about saying I love you to somebody who was married, and she was married and she shouldn't have been doing that, okay? But the thought still goes that we should never miss the chance to show the agape love, the godly love for somebody when the opportunity is presented to us. And the opportunity is presented to you. And we may not take the opportunity. I don't always take the opportunity. But believe me, the opportunity is there. I have the opportunity on a regular basis to reach out and love someone, to show my love for them, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. But they may not return it. They probably will not return it. They certainly will not always return it. And they certainly will not even frequently return it. And we can pray for someone's healing, and sometimes it happens like that. But most of the time, we're never even quite sure. But it doesn't stop you from praying. And we can reach out to someone and tell them about the difference that Jesus Christ makes in our lives. And sometimes they'll get down on their knees and ask you to lead them to Jesus Christ. Like that. But most of the time, you're simply planting a seed that you won't see grow. Or you won't see grow for a long time. Or you won't even know if it grew. So is the one where you have an immediate answer more valuable than the one when you don't, that you don't know? No. We are to act. We are to take the action. We're to plant the seed and let God bring the increase when God is ready to bring the increase. We are to reach out to those in need, even when it hurts, even when it's unpleasant, and even when it's uncomfortable. This was so, so very important that Jesus took time to tell his disciples about this, to get down and wash their feet, to break the bread, to share the drink, to tell them about how important love was, that it is a commandment, a mandate for them to love one another. It was so important that he did it right before he was arrested and led to his death. He had to get this to them. He had to sell them one more time. And we need to go out into the world and go to our families and our neighbors and our work, our co-workers and our children and our grandchildren and the people that across down the road that just irritate the heck out of us. And we need to go at it with some urgency. We don't know how much time there is. We don't know how much time there is. We don't know whether they're going to be around another day. We don't know whether, I don't know whether I'm going to be around another day. It's urgent business because it was so important that Christ wanted to make sure that we got it. And he wants to make sure that we get it today. And he gives it to us in his word. And he gives it to us through the Holy Spirit as he tugs at our hearts. And as he urges us to speak to someone. As he urges us to ask someone, is everything all right? As he urges us to call someone that we don't want to get on the phone and hear them go on and on and on and on about their troubles. Or on and on and on about what that person did to them and how could they have done it. We've heard it before. But we're called to do that. We're called to do that. We're called to reach out for them. We're called to obey our King. We're called to obey our Lord, who gave everything for us, and ask only that we will obey him, that we will do what he tells us to do, and that we will do it now. The whole time of Easter screams us out at us that Christ has called us into obedience. He has set the example. Christ said, may this cup pass from me. Lord, if there's any way I don't have to go to the cross, if there's any way I don't have to bear the sins of these people, if there is another way for this, for your will to be done, let it happen and let this pass from me. But it did not pass from him, and there was no other way. The only way that he could do it was an awful, awful thing that he didn't want to do. But he was obedient to God. He was obedient to the Father, and he's told us that we need to be obedient to him. And he's made a commandment. Just as God told him, this is what you will do for the people to save them. This is what you will do for the people that we love. And he said, if not my will, but your will be done. And that is the prayer that we need to pray. Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. Show me your will. And help me to do this even when I don't want to do it. Amen.